This audio will be devoted to my vision of a restructuring of the current single Ethics and Member Conduct Committee. This was first envisioned by the Concerned Ethics Volunteers, the CEV, in 2017 and was updated July 3 of that year. There is a link to this paper provided just below this. I envision, since IEEE is worldwide and its membership is approaching 450,000, that a single member conduct committee is too centralized and too distant from the various customs, laws, practices, norms that exist throughout the various regions, all the way down to the individual sections. And to make this more responsive, it would be better to distribute from one member conduct committee to at least one per each region, that would be 10, but have them such that they're close to where the actual activity occurred so that those representatives on the member conduct committee, hopefully selected from that region, will have a better understanding of what they're dealing with as far as constraints, laws, practices, and so forth. So I will begin. In the paper, the link is provided next. First starts in section one. Items A and B have to do with modifying the wording in the phrase contained in the EMCC's mission and its operations manual, which says, neither the Ethics and Member Conduct Committee nor any of its members shall solicit or otherwise invite complaints, nor shall they provide advice to individuals. The other one is B, is removing the phrase, the Ethics and Member Conduct Committee should not be involved in employee-employer disputes. Once these two phrases are removed, the Member Conduct Committee or its replacement entities shall be proactive in ethics advice and ethical support to the membership. This will be in direct compliance and agreement with what I've stressed at the very top of this webpage, and that is we have a legal contract agreement whereupon a member or either joins or rejoins, agrees to abide by the Code of Ethics. And on the other hand, the Institute agrees to provide ethical support in upholding the Code of Ethics. This supports those two objectives. With the Ethics and Member Conduct Committee distributed into a single Ethics Committee and regional Member Conduct Committees, this would divide up the powers in the following manner. The Board of Directors would retain overall executive functions. The Ethics Committee then would perform more of a legislative function, and the Member Conduct Committees would perform more judicial functions in that they will actually investigate and hold hearings and then make recommendations to the Board for final disposition of a case. In this type of a structure, the Ethics Committee shall A, maintain the Code of Ethics, B, develop implementation guidelines tailored to each technical discipline, their practices, local customs, and interpret them when called upon, C, publish ethics articles and hypothetical ethics education cases in the Institute, D, provide advice and interpretations when requested from the various member conduct committees. E, issue annual reports or semi-annual reports on activities and accomplishments to the members. On the other hand, the regional member conduct committees shall be empowered to A, recommend member discipline for code violations, respond to member inquiries seeking ethics advice, C, provide an ethics conflict resolution service, D, recommend ethical support to members when found to have his or her employment in jeopardy for striving to uphold the Code of Ethics. The member conduct committees shall tailor application of the code of ethics to their local customs, laws, business practices, and norms. One important consideration for the nominations committee, which recommends appointments to the ethics committee and the various member conduct committees, is to balance the membership between business management level members and practicing engineer professional levels. One should not override the other and predominate. You need to have a balance between those two. It would be hoped that the board of directors, sometime in the very near future, would take the lead and consider and restructure the current Ethics and Member Conduct Committee into these regional member conduct committees. But if that doesn't happen, the membership has, in their power, the ability to do that through a constitutional amendment. So that should be something that can be considered. In the very end, it's the last resort. And once that is established in the Constitution, it cannot be changed by the board. It can only be changed again by the entire membership. Here's an important consideration for those that will be in director positions that would serve on the board of directors. Need to stress to the members serving in director positions that their first priority is to the good of the membership and not to outside business, employment, or other personal interests. That is a fiduciary requirement, one which I feel has not really been carried through over the last 20 years, and I've talked on that and provided documentation to that effect throughout this webpage. When the Concerned Ethics Volunteers, the CEV, was working on this in 2017, we contacted and got information and carried on a dialogue with the members who handled the NEVEX Global Ethics Point service. This is very automated, it's very well structured, it establishes very good record keeping. It should be considered to be used in support of requests that come into the various member conduct committees for either advice or support or to file a complaint. That's a consideration. We got bids from them, not bids, but quotes, pricing, and we went and talked extensively. It looks like it could be very beneficial. Look into it. Thank you. One last point before closing. I've made this point in several places throughout this webpage. The overall Ethics and Member Conduct Committee, however, is done, whether it's single or distributed, needs to have a watchdog. And I've recommended that the Society on the Social Implications of Technology, the SSIT, is in a very neutral technology position to perform this. It fits right in with what they've been working on in the ethics area for the last 20 or 30 years. It was the CSET, the forerunner of ESSET, that actually got IEEE into the BART case, and then the Egerton case, and so forth. Anyway, that's something to consider to be implemented very strongly, needs to be done. Thank you.